All right, so I'm here with Gary, and we're going to have a discussion, theologically speaking, and he gave me permission to record the call. And so you say that it's foolish and absurd to say that man can deserve anything. And let me actually read exactly what we agreed to discuss here, just so it's... Do you have it in front of you there?
No. Matter of fact, I think I... It stated in the email that, you know, I don't have any notebooks. I'm not going to be quoting scripture because I'm not that learned in it. I'm not going to, you know, go through the, you
okay,
know,
here it is. Here it is.
I don't have it, so you can help me out on that, and I'd be...
Yeah, you said that it's essentially absurd to say that man can be deserving of anything, and you said that our statement in the video... Quote, God will provide water baptism for those who truly desire and deserve it, is erroneous and actually foolish, you went on to say. That's what you say.
It's an error. So if I may just so I can reconfirm, I sent you an email. I said it was a very nice, you know, video that you had put out. I thought it was nice. I thought that there was very, you bring a lot of light into the world where there's darkness. They'll help people. And the main basis of the email was for those who may be, you know, because I know that you have a lot of people go to your website that are not Catholic or, you know, maybe coming from the Novus Ordo or something like that. So for the sake of those who are weaker in faith or beginning to become Catholic, that I thought there was an error in that wording. Also,
well, you also said
it's
absurd.
Also, I said that I didn't believe that it were there was any bad intention or any bad will on your part. It was just a misuse of words.
Okay,
is
so
that correct? Is that correct or isn't it?
You did say that, but those words which preceded your accusation of error and absurdity ring hollow, because in the same context you go on to accuse someone of gross theological error when there isn't any, as I'm going to show. That,
well,
all right,
you can show that, but I want to have to confirm that I said that I don't believe that it was any bad intention or bad will. It was just a misuse of words.
But again,
is
people,
that a yes or is it yes or no?
I already answered that. I said that that's what you claimed, but those words ring hollow.
So that's what's there.
Again, I've already acknowledged that. But that
okay,
those words
that.
Ring hollow,
yes
but
okay.
Those words
okay.
ring hollow because what you go on to say reveals that you do not really believe what you're saying in a positive light about us. But let's examine your claim.
Oh, I totally
would you agree
that you meant it, you didn't mean it in bad will.
Well,
I want to
analyze your claim, okay? Let's dig in. You say God will provide water baptism for those who truly desire and deserve it is erroneous and absurd. Would you agree that the word worthy is a word that means the same thing as deserving? So like if someone says that those who truly desire and deserve it, one could substitute the word those who truly desire and are worthy of it, you would agree that they would mean the same thing?
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to use that terminology, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I mean, worthy desires, truthfully desires.
And so therefore you would say, that it's erroneous for someone to say God provides water baptism for those who are worthy of it.
That those who are worthy of it, I would say, would be in the same context, absolutely. But before we go any further than that, I do know, as being a Catholic and raised Catholic, and I know for a fact that man is deserving of death. And that's the simple bottom line truth. Every man is worthy and deserving of death. And they do not come out of that
state
unless God takes them out of that state.
But your claim is that to say that someone can be worthy of baptism or that God will leave someone unbaptized because he deemed him to be unworthy of it, you say that's erroneous and absurd, correct? To use that
I'm saying,
language.
So in other words, in God wills
Yeah, answer my question.
Baptism of those who are worthy is what you're saying? Is that what you're asking me?
I'll explain it again. You claimed that it's erroneous and absurd and foolish to say that God will provide water baptism for anyone who's deserving of it or worthy of it.
Truly desires or truly deserves. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's your word,
quote, right,
unquote.
So
your wording is, quote, and God will provide water baptism to those who truly desire or deserve. That's your word.
Right. And so, and we agreed that deserve or deserving of it, we could substitute the word worthy there. We agreed on that.
I guess you could say that truly desires or is worthy. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't see what would the difference would be there.
All right, well,
what's the difference between deserving or worthy?
They mean the same thing. It's actually the same word in Latin. Yeah, and so therefore, it's absurd for you, in your view, for someone to say that anyone could be considered unworthy or worthy of baptism, and on that basis, God will leave him unbaptized or not give him the grace to come to the church. Right.
I would say correct. I would say that it's correct that no man is worthy of baptism or deserving of it. It is a free, gratuitous gift of God.
No, that's not exactly what we're saying. What we're saying is that, well, let me just quote St. Augustine to refute you. St. Augustine says, the salvation that belongs to this religion was never lacking to anyone who was worthy of it, and anyone to whom it was wanting or lacking was not worthy of it. End quote. That's exactly what we say. So would you say
so
that...
So is that the same saint that you have condemned as being erroneous in his other teachings?
As a Catholic,
no.
every
yes
Catholic...
No. Yes
if
no
you'd
question.
Be quiet, I'd be happy to answer your question. As a Catholic,
yes, no.
every Catholic would have to acknowledge that St. Augustine made errors. He wrote a book of corrections.
So who are you, the authority, to be able to say that this saint or that saint is correct
well,
in what he's
well,
saying, what you're quoting.
Before we get to that, would you agree that, based on your position, you would have to say that this statement by St. Augustine was absurd?
My position is as I say...
Yes or no?
That no man... Yes.
Okay.
I would say that it's not...
Right.
It is,
and
it
see,
is
what I'm illustrating here untrue. Is that you don't know what you're talking about. That's what I'm illustrating here.
Okay,
And I'll give you some more quotes.
Pain. That's your modus operandi to everyone you talk to that does not agree with you.
No, if I can demonstrate it, like in your case, and see, that's why I'm having this conversation, to rebuke and expose a puffed-up heretic like you, because you write in a completely unnecessary email to try to find fault with something that's not an error at all in your pride, and you wind up accusing a whole host of legitimate theological terminology of being absurd. Here's some other quotes. Here's St. Cyril. He says, if anyone harbors hypocrisy even in secret, God rejects that man as unfit for true service. But whoever is found worthy or deserving, to him he readily gives his grace. But where he perceives a good conscience, there he gives the wondrous and salvific see. So again, using the same terminology that we did, acknowledging that within the context of God's election, there is free will, and how people respond to that free will determine how God will give him further graces or whether he will draw him further. Nothing can be done without God's grace, but how man responds in his free will determine whether God will give him more graces. And
well,
so
that's exactly what my point is.
And
I agree with that totally. I have no qualms. I put that in the second email response to you. I have no qualms at all.
No, but you would have to say, would you say that
everything good free will that comes from men, as you have pointed out, the grace of God precedes all of that.
Right. No one denies that.
None of that happens.
In this conversation.
A man does not become worthy or deserving until the grace precedes that.
Right. And therefore, to speak of someone being left outside the church because God did not see him to be worthy of the grace, as St. Augustine does not deny that truth, as you wrongly asserted.
It means that they have fell under the judgment of God, of which we are left ignorant in this world, because that is past finding out for us.
They've fallen under the judgment of God, and that's irrelevant to what we're talking about.
Fallen or however you want to,
So, would you agree that Saint Cyril, according to you, also made an absurd statement?
No. That the way you're reading these things, because that seems to be again your modus operandum.
Modus operandi. It's not modus operandi.
Yeah, however, I'm not the smartest guy.
Well, then maybe you should figure out what you're talking about before you write in arrogant emails.
Well, when I sent in the email to you, I was sending it in for the sake of those who do not understand that grace precedes the.
They don't need your advice. They don't need your advice.
I'm sending it to you.
I don't need your advice.
So that you will make sure that.
If you are honest, which you aren't. You would admit that St. Cyril's statement, according to your own reasoning, is also absurd, because he says whoever is found deserving. And you've already made it clear that it's absurd to say man is worthy or deserving of anything.
It's absurd for you to say that for the sake of those who are not aware of the faith, and they're not strong in faith. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You have taken it upon yourself that you are going to be the shepherd of the flock, so to speak. You've taken on that challenge. Quite honestly, I believe in a lot of cases you do a very, very good job of that. Not in all, but in most. However,
what does this have to do with the theological issue we're talking about?
It has a lot to do with it.
We're talking about a
wording of what you're saying could mislead someone
who
is not Catholic or someone who is just new to the faith to think that they merit or they can desire or they can deserve something of their own merit or of their own strength.
Do you believe that man can merit eternal life?
He receives eternal life grace for grace. That's the reward.
You're not answering my question. Can man merit eternal life, yes or no?
If he merits grace, absolutely. If he has the grace, absolutely.
So man can merit eternal life. You agree?
If he receives grace from God, yes.
Okay, so what's your point?
Well, that's what I tried to say in my email. See, I don't know what the arguments were all about.
You're the one that sent the email. I didn't send you the email.
You sent the one back that called me Satan. You called me the most, absurd guy that you've ever met in your life. Craziest, bad.
No, I didn't say that, actually. I didn't say you were the craziest guy I've ever met in my life.
Okay?
I didn't say that. And also, those statements, I do believe you're of Satan for a variety of reasons. And I believe that this email you sent is indicative of your profound spiritual blindness and pride. And also the fact that you support a heretical priest well after you are aware or should have been aware that he didn't hold the correct line. You originally held the correct positions after seeing the material on our website. That's how you become...
What line? What do you mean, what line? Reiterate that to me.
Well,
what line?
Maybe
what
I can get to that line after we finish discussing this, so that we...
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
Now, there's no way that you could say that St. Augustine's statement is absurd, which you already have admitted you believe, but not St. Cyril. Or how about Acts chapter 13, 45-52? Where Paul and Barnabas are speaking to the Jews, and he says, "We wanted to speak the word of God to you first, but seeing that you rejected and judge yourselves unworthy or undeserving of eternal life, we turn to the Gentiles." That's exactly what we said. That's it, basically word for word what we are indicating. You see the point, Gary?
Well, I obviously see that you don't understand what the text of my email was.
No, I do. I do understand it.
It was not an evil attack at you. It wasn't anything along those lines. It was a simple, hey, listen, I don't believe that you intended any bad will. It's just it was a misuse of words.
No, it wasn't a misuse of words.
It should have been words that it were used, and God will baptize whom he will. Who he will, not who desires it.
So man doesn't have to desire baptism?
No, because they can't desire it unless the grace of God precedes and they desire it.
But they have
God
to desire it. That's
yeah,
a teaching
God
of the church.
God commands them. Command with thy will, give what
Gary,
God demands.
Gary, your statement is pointless. That
well,
we agree.
To you, I agree with you, is what I'm trying
no,
to point out.
No, you're not. Because you are diverting from what you said was erroneous language. You said it's absurd and erroneous to say that God will provide baptism for those who deserve it. And then I proved St. Augustine said the same thing. He says the salvation will be provided to anyone who is worthy of it. Okay?
Well,
and then we have the Acts chapter 13 saying this, essentially the same thing, said you because you reject the word of God, you judge yourself to be unworthy of it. That implies that other people who are more accepting of God's grace are worthy of it. Same language.
Absolutely.
So all that language is absurd, according to you.
But do you know how? No, that is not absurd to me. Do you know how St. Paul and Barnabas correctly judged the Jews? Is because when they preached, they didn't hear it, so they knew that they hadn't received the grace of God. That's all.
So what?
If the grace of God was upon the Jew when they spoke, they would have followed. Simple as that. The grace
that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Everything. Yes, it's
what we're talking about, Gary, you can't follow the point, is whether it's proper or erroneous to use the term that people can be worthy of something or left in a state because God deemed them unworthy of something. You said absurd language, and you're completely wrong.
that's another modus. How'd you say that? Operandum or operandum?
Modus operandi.
Modus operandi. That is another thing that I've noticed with you guys a lot, is that you're always right. You're never wrong. You know what I mean? It's the spirit of the Pharisee.
So basically, if you can't refute the facts, so you just divert into I'm always
agreeing.
Right.
How am I refuting? I'm agreeing. I'm
Gary,
saying that
Gary,
God,
but zero in
God
on the issue.
Grace precedes it. I am.
Gary.
God's grace precedes a man's desire.
Gary. No one's questioning
that's
here.
Catholic faith. No. Well, that's what you're questioning.
Then you would
that's
have to say then that's what you would have to say. St. Augustine was questioning that when he made a statement. St. Cyril was questioning that when he made a statement. Acts 13 was questioning that when it made a statement. And I could give you other quotes here. How about all the passages in Scripture which talk about
to the faithful? That's different. Don't you understand? That's the point. That's the whole idea. You don't understand what charity is. When I sent this email to you, I was speaking on behalf of those who are, say, a Protestant that has come by your website. And for some reason, they watch that video. And after they watch that video, they leave with the notion that they can desire something or they deserve something.
They have to desire something.
Well, they cannot desire on their own. That's what the Protestant of the world does today.
But that doesn't mean that they can't desire something.
What I'm saying to you, Brother Peter, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Protestant today that's out there believes at whatever age, 25, 30, that they have desired to turn to God. And because they have turned to God and they become baptized and a born-again Christian, now they deserve the graces of God. That's why Protestants.
Well, actually, there are many different views in Protestantism on that issue. In fact, like the Calvinists, and some of the argumentation you're making really smacking of Calvinism, they believe that man doesn't have free will. And they cite some of the same passages that you brought up to say that God has mercy on whom he wills, on whom he wills he hardens, that man doesn't have free will, that God simply picks certain people for no reason for salvation, and he picks certain people for no reason for damnation, or simply according to the purpose of his will, and free will is eliminated in that scenario.
I've never one time ever believed in my mind or heart or lip confessed that a man doesn't have free will. But
actually, some of the things you're saying,
free will is free of righteousness. The human, let me repeat that for you again so you can remember this. The human free will is free of righteousness.
That's actually
the grace of God.
If man cooperates with grace, his free will can lead him to greater righteousness. Your statement, all this is irrelevant. The point is that you should admit that your accusation of absurdity and error, that God could provide and will provide water baptism for those who are worthy of it or deserve it, that is not a false statement. That is
it. Now that I'm talking to you, I'm looking around here. Where in the heck is that email that I sent you? Because I want to see. I don't even kind of remember what I sent to you.
You said, you quoted the words of the video that said, quote, God will provide water baptism for those who truly desire and deserve it. And then you go on to say that that's wrong, and in a subsequent email you say that it's absurdity. And
right. I say, may I ask you a question? What man truly desires anything good? You answer that question for me. What man desires anything good of his own will?
Many of the saints had holy desires.
None. Zero, sir.
Wait a second. You dishonestly added a qualification of his own will. By God's grace, man has many holy desires.
Do you think when I send you an email, when you claim to be Catholic, that I can say to you in a simple sentence the way this is, put what man truly desires anything good? You don't understand what I'm talking about and don't understand.
I understand your error better than you do.
So then why are my question to you is why is it you're trying to pick apart something that you already know?
What I'm illustrating to you.
More importantly, deserves anything. What man deserves anything? If it was deserving of St. Paul, who done evil, and he was given according to his merits, he would have, guess what? Been damned to hell. Correct?
Let me give you a few passages, okay? Acts 5:41.
Am I correct or am I not? What man deserves anything? If St. Paul was deserving of his deeds and merited what he did, he would have been given damnation.
And Scripture says that by God's grace, okay, we are made worthy or deserving to be partakers of the saints in light.
Absolutely.
So you just contradicted yourself. And so Scripture, let me speak here. You've been going on. Okay, Scripture speaks about how man can be worthy of things. Here's another passage, Acts 5:41. And they went from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy or deserving to suffer reproach for the name of Jesus. So what man could be worthy of anything? Well, Scripture tells us that men can be worthy of lots of things, by God's grace always preceding. But therefore, do they have to say that in every passage? No. And therefore, is it absurd for them to say that man can be worthy of something? No. And did you say it was? Yes. Was your statement arrogant and absurd and false? Yes. That's the point.
My point to you, Peter, is that we both agree on the same things. I just disagreed the way you worded it for the sake of the weak and
right, because you don't know what you're talking about.
Now that's where I disagree, because I don't believe that someone, especially that's not even Catholic, because I see the e-exchanges from time to time on there, and I see that a lot of people come to the site that are not even Catholic. I mean, they're questioning, why do you put this and this and that, so obviously they're not Catholic. But if there's anyone that is going to have their eyes or ears open that God has ordained, as we know, preordained, if they're going to hear, we wouldn't want to, as St. Paul speaks, and I put in the email in Corinthians, scandalize your weak.
So then you'd have to say that St. Augustine was scandalizing when he says that anyone to whom it, meaning
the saint. Your modus operandum, forget it, I'm not even going to say that, M.O., I'm just going to say M.O., that's your M.O., is you like to try to change the subject, and when you
listen, you've been going on, let me respond. I'm not changing the subject, I'm directly sticking to the subject. You're changing
the
subject.
Let's talk about the weak in faith that could be scandalized by your word.
Let me address that it's not erroneous at all. What you're saying is utterly ridiculous. You'd have to say all these scripture paths. Here's another one, Luke 20:34-35. But they that shall be accounted worthy or deserving of that world and of the resurrection from the dead shall neither be married.
I'm not denying that.
You're saying that, listen, let me finish. You would have to say that that is scandalous language. Because no one can be accounted deserving of anything without the grace of God. This is scandalous language. You see the point, how ridiculous and absurd and by your pride what you've been fallen into? That's the point.
This is one of these things where we're going to agree to disagree.
No, I don't agree to disagree.
I'm going to agree to disagree for one reason. because I know what my intention was when I sent that to you. I was sending that not to correct you as not knowing what you're talking about.
Yes, you were.
For the sake of those, no, it was not, because I put right in the email that I did not. I put right in there word for word what I, by no means am accusing you of intentional bad will. It's just sometimes words can represent something other than what was intended, which may lead others astray.
No, it doesn't lead anyone astray, okay?
Well, what I'm saying is it's possible that it could be, because if a person...
People can read Scripture, people read Scripture and through their own bad will are led astray all the time.
Well, you know, maybe...
People read...
You're going to be in charge of people as you have taken on this mantle upon yourself, then you are responsible.
When you have no argument, as you have no argument, you have to divert into the personal stuff. Okay, you notice how I've stuck to the facts of this issue. What does worthy mean?
Personal.
Listen, if you'd be quiet, I'd explain that I've stuck to the issue of analyzing how can you say someone's worthy? Does Scripture say someone's worthy? In what context can you say people are deserving or worthy? Okay, I'm sticking to the issue because I'm correct and you're wrong. Whereas you, since you have no argument, you throw in all this other stuff about me. That's because you have no leg to stand on in this debate.
What about you? Expand on that.
You're bringing up saying that I've arrogated to myself this or that, which has no relevance to what we're talking about.
Haven't you?
You'd have to be specific in what you're talking about.
What I'm saying is that you have taken it upon yourself to be, I don't know how to word, I don't know what word to use, so forgive me or pardon me if I use the wrong one. You've taken it upon yourself to be the leader of people faithful.
We've taken it upon ourselves through let me finish before you interrupt, okay? We've to take advantage of what the church teaches, that you must teach people in times of error and times of heresy and instruct them in the truths of faith and base our conclusions on what the church has taught. And we stand on what the church has taught, and that's the authority we look to and cause and encourage others to look to in forming conclusions.
That's what we've done.
I
don't know what if you could have a single word name for that. I don't know, but I know what you mean, and I agree. Now, wouldn't you agree that being in that position, you're responsible for a multitude of souls? You've put that upon yourself.
Well, I would say that anyone who engages others in the public forum or who takes it upon himself to deal with Catholic matters in a public fashion, yes, has a responsibility to proclaim the truth accurately and honestly, obviously.
Yeah.
But my point is that what was said here was accurate. And you're saying it was not, and you're wrong. And I'm proving it by references to Scripture, references to the fathers of the church. Here's another example, St. Justin.
Of which I all agree, for the record.
I
agree. Yes, I do. All grace.
Gary, that's where you're showing.
A man being worthy.
All
of that precedes a man.
No. Gary, you can't follow the point, or you're deliberately trying not to follow it, or acting like.
What am I trying not to follow?
The point is not that you believe grace precedes man's free will and that grace precedes men's good actions. It's that can someone be said to be unworthy or worthy of something? And does that imply a denial of the actions of grace? That's what you said. To say that someone is left without baptism because he's unworthy implies a denial of God's grace. No, it doesn't. As St. Augustine's quote proves, as St. Cyril's quote proves, as Acts chapter 13 proves, as these other passages I just gave you prove, here's another quote from St. Justin Martyr, where he says that if all men recognized eternal punishment or reward, no one would choose evil even for a short time. And he goes on to say, every man will receive the eternal punishment or reward which his actions deserve, or which he is worthy of. Does that imply that God's grace is not working? Does that give Protestants a wrong impression? No, it doesn't. Okay, and that's the absurd accusation that you made.
Well, sure it can. Sure it can. That's why there's so much Protestantism in the world, because they deny that.
No, that's because they leap, like you, to unwarranted conclusions.
No, they deny it is why they hit that.
Right,
lies,
but
they deny that.
And a statement like this does not imply a denial of God's grace.
Again, as we're splitting hairs,
no,
my
we're not.
Point was I don't disagree with that. Now, let me ask you just a simple question. Can a man, as St. Augustine and Saint Justin Martyr has just said, and you quoted, is the man worthy, as they're saying, okay, because God's grace preceded it? Is that why they're using that language?
Right, that's it. That's a given.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
No, you're switching
Bingo.
The issue.
Bingo.
No.
I guess you opened up your can of coffee and smelled it.
No, Gary.
Bingo.
You're just
That's
a liar.
What I'm saying.
You're
That's
saying
what
that
I've
no.
Saying.
So no, you're disproving yourself. You're disproving. So let me explain why. You're admitting that someone who speaks of someone being worthy or unworthy or deserving or undeserving, even though he doesn't mention God's grace in that context, that doesn't necessarily imply a denial of God's grace. That's exactly what we did. Okay, and yet you said that our statement implied an error or was an error or was an absurdity. You see the point? You get it now? Does it click?
It clicks very clearly. It clicks very clearly that what you were implying is that the saints have said basically the same thing that you have said.
Yes.
I understand what you're saying.
It's not only the saints you would have to correct and say were absurd in all these passages. Scripture itself. It talks about people were made worthy. It talks about people, and in fact, Jesus says that...
How were they made worthy?
But there were many contexts by God's grace, of course.
Right.
But it doesn't mention that in every. It doesn't mention that in every passage. Like, Jesus, for instance, says that any man who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy or deserving of me. All right? Yeah, but that, according to you, is scandalous because no one can be worthy or deserving of him. It's the exact same thing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you then be willing to pardon me for saying to you that what you put on there was erroneous? Because obviously, you know, the saints have said the same exact thing that you have said. Pardon me in that. But at the same time, say that it's possible that someone who is not Catholic could take that out of context and could believe that that could be something of their own merit. Or something that they've done without the grace of God preceding it. Isn't it possible that could happen to someone not strong in faith?
If someone, you asked two questions. I would forgive someone for saying that we or I committed an absurdity and an error in an arrogant fashion if they were sorry for having done that. Yes. I don't know if you're actually sorry for having done that at all. It's not clear to me. But as far as the second point, no, I do not grant that what was said gives a heretic a good reason for concluding something heretical, any more than a profession of Catholic faith would give a heretic a reason for concluding something heretical. Many heretics read the Council of Trent and will twist it and pervert it. And so they will twist anything. The question is the language legitimate? Is the language accurate? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, I would have to say that you can use that type of language,